We gather tonight to celebrate a candlelight service. And as you've seen the candles on the table before us, the candles of the Advent wreath represent different things. The Advent wreath really finds its origins only as far back as about 1839, and it was the creation of a Lutheran pastor who used it as an object lesson for children in a mission school where he taught. But over the years, the tradition grew and took on more and greater meaning. Leaves or bough branches were added to represent life, the green, the perpetual eternal life. And the candles represent five different things. The first candle that we light on the first Sunday of Advent, which was 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, was hope. And what we recognize is that Jesus brings hope, that just in the same way that we use the expression, the light at the end of the tunnel, when we see light, there's hope for the end of the darkness. The next week, we light a candle to represent peace, and we recognize the shalom of God, an ancient Hebrew word, which means to be made whole again. On the third Sunday of Advent, we light a candle for joy, recognizing the joy that we experience in Christ. And on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of love, that God's perfect love has come into the world. But tonight, we light the center candle, also known as the Christ candle, which represents that tonight, the light of the world has come into the world. In John's same gospel that we just heard Charlie read from, we read those iconic words of Jesus when he declared that he was the light of the world. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, the scriptures say this, "Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Now, the context in which he said this was during something called the Feast of Booths, or it's also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was this huge celebration throughout the land, but especially in the city of Jerusalem. People came together, and they celebrated and reenacted God's faithfulness to them as they dwelled in the desert. And part of that celebration was to light lights, especially at night, and they would even try to stay up at night. In the temple itself, torches were lit and big baskets of oil were brought in. The light never, ever went out. And that was indicative of what happened in their experience in the desert, where at night God appeared as a pillar of fire and his perpetual presence revealed to them in the light. George Beasley Murray says, chapter 8 and verse 12 has immediate reference to the joyous celebration each night in the light of the lamps, with all that it connoted of Israel's experience of the shining of God upon them for their deliverance and hope of future salvation. Honestly, if I were to preach a series on the Gospel of John, I think I could probably do at least four sermons just on the passage that Charlie read for us. But there is a segment inside of this passage, chapters 9 through 14, that I would like to just reiterate and draw a few observations from, if I may. The passage is this. Let me remind you of it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was not in the world. The world was made through him. Pardon me, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If I was to offer a few observations, the first would be this. The light, Jesus. The light is for everyone, and everyone is affected by it. Even if we consider the first words of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the first words that God spoke were, "Let there be light." And in that moment, God revealed himself in and to his creation. Everyone has an understanding or an intuition or a perception of God. The Bible says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made." When Israel left Egypt and found themselves in the desert, God showed himself present in the night as a pillar of fire. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the city was radiant, with firelight representing the presence of God, and it was in the center of this setting that Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world." The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But why not? The answer to that is simply, not everyone likes or wants the light. The light reveals the truth, and sometimes we can't handle the truth. Sometimes the truth is something we just can't or don't want to bear. It's like when you're getting your hair cut and they have all those bright lights and every crease and wrinkle and pimple is exposed in this incredibly bright mirror and you think, turn it off. Or when somebody that you love and who allegedly loves you walks into the bedroom and you're just coming out of your sleep, you're in that dazed moment, you're enjoying your warm blankie and the cover of darkness, you're just so happy, and somebody walks in and either throws on a light switch or tears open the curtains and offers some advice about how the day is getting on and we should all just get up. You know your feelings in those moments when you are struck by that light. You recoil, you close your eyes, you bury yourself in your favorite blankie. Maybe you offer a few suggestions of your own. The light can be problematic, can it? Because it reveals to us the truth. And sometimes it shows us what we truly are, and sometimes we don't want to see that. There's a famous passage. The World Cup just wrapped up, and I got to tell you, the first time I ever read these words, 1986, I was watching the World Cup, and somebody had this huge banner, John 3:16. I had no idea what that was. So I had to go find a Bible, and I dug it out, and I found it. But there's more to that passage than just that one verse. There's a few verses that come behind it. Jesus was speaking to a prominent teacher of the time. His name was Nicodemus. He said to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." We understand this. We appreciate this. The implication of this verse is profound and unpopular. Despite what our culture wants to tell us, we are not all God's children. We are all God's creation, and God loves and cherishes his creation. But we're not all God's children. The Bible tells us, "But when the time set had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." You might hear from time to time people refer to Jesus as a gift given, but Jesus isn't the gift per se. In fact, he is the gift giver, and the gift he gives is the gift of grace. The gift is eternal life. Again, the scriptures tell us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible is explicit on this matter. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but there is good news. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. John testifies to this in verse 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God's glory is manifest in the salvation of fallen humanity. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus is the light that reflects the glory of God. The last verse, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is God revealed in the flesh. Where God once dwelt in a tent and sat on a throne in a place called the Holy of Holies, God now makes his dwelling with man and lives in the hearts of those who believe that Jesus was born to die and live again, to deliver us from the curse of sin and offer us eternal life. God is the architect and the arbiter of our salvation. God alone will receive the glory in our salvation, for salvation is a manifestation of his glory, his omnipotence, his mercy, his love, and his holiness are all, in a sense, summed up in his glory. And all of these attributes are on display in his work of salvation. The Apostle Peter attests to this when describing Jesus. He says, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God." And this is what we're celebrating tonight, that God took on flesh, the flesh he created. God the Son became the Son of Man so that man might become the daughters and sons of God. Jesus, the light of the world, arrived in the night to cast away darkness. The light of God's truth dispels the shadow of deceptions, which keeps people shrouded in fear and despair. And this is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Whatever place we find ourselves, which may be in a really positive and great place, but maybe tonight you're feeling a little lonely or sad, or you're dealing with grief. Maybe something's happened recently that's just made you ask why and wonder if God still cares and if he loves you. And tonight testifies to the great truth that he does. He lives. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the song for the suffering. He is Messiah. The Prince of Peace has come. He's come for all who wait, for all who hunger, for all who've prayed, for all who wonder. So behold your King. Behold Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. Behold Jesus, the light of the world.